Welcome one and all once again to Dual World in episode 71. As of the time of when this show goes up, we will be 7 short days away from the start of E3. For you in America, the greatest nation in all the world, happy Memorial Day, and welcome. Joining me this week, we have Jason.
Hello.
And somebody who's not American, so he probably doesn't celebrate with beer, hot dogs, and hamburgers. Martin.
Oh, he doesn't need an excuse to drink beer and eat hamburgers.
He doesn't need an excuse, but, I mean, that's kind of what Memorial Day is. It's like just the unofficial start of summer.
Howdy. So about remembering the soldiers that died for us, Earl.
Yeah, that's what it is on paper. It's like saying that Thanksgiving's a day to give thanks for that, for all in your life, and it's just a day to eat excessively and go to bed at 6 so you can wake up for Black Friday.
I don't care. By Monday, I will be in Budapest anyway.
Budapest, he's training to be the next James Bond villain. So, yes, but yeah, we have a lot to talk about this week. You know, this will finish our E3 segment Nintendo this week. There's a ton of stuff. Well, actually, not a lot of news. It's been a quiet week. We've had a couple of games that got pushed back and stuff like that. But before we get there, Martin and Jason games. I know, let's start with Jason, because I know Martin wants to hear what you've been saying.
Yeah, well, I guess I'll start with the one Martin wants to hear about, which is Steel Battalion Heavy Armor. Demo on Xbox Live. Martin, I think you'll be very happy. What were you gonna say, Earl?
I was gonna say I don't think he's gonna be happy because then he has to buy a Kinect.
Oh, exactly.
I don't want to say blown away. That's a little strong, but I was very impressed with the game. Where do I begin? I mean, so obviously it's a Kinect game that also uses a controller, which, and this isn't just like the Mass Effect or Skyrim, like, you know, you shout voice commands while you're using the controller. Like, you're using motion controls while you're playing the game. So you control the tank, the vertical tank, with the controller, and then use motion controls to, you know, interact with all the different things in the cockpit, including your fellow tank operators. I don't know if they have a name. But, yeah, I mean, it's really... It makes so much sense. And, like, when Kinect came out, you're like, man, what are all these, like, hardcore experiences we're going to have with the Kinect and the controller? Like, you know, it's like... It's using Kinect as an extension of the controller, which I think is awesome. Mm. And... I mean, I don't know, like, what else to say other than, I mean, you can't play the demo if you don't have a Kinect, though, so that's a hard thing.
So tell me, how well does it work? Is it very, very responsive, like, putting on the periscope, stuff like that?
It is very responsive. I mean, there's a little bit of the, you know, natural Kinect jankiness, mm-hmm. but not as bad as you would think. I mean, it's, for the most part, it's really good, and especially for, like, how many things you can interact with in the cockpit, it seems to always get, like I would never hit the wrong thing. It would just be a matter of... The only mistakes that would happen is, like, if I had to pull a lever, sometimes I would have to, like, do it twice because I pulled my arm back too fast or something like that. But, mm-hmm. like, I would never hit the wrong lever or hit the wrong button or something like that.
That's cool.
The only...
And for the most part, you're still using the controller, right?
Yeah, the controller is, like, the primary, like, the controller is the tank movement, you know, aiming and firing all your guns. And then the motion controls are, you know, things like you stand up to kind of peek out over the hatch of the tank, which obviously if you're in battle you shouldn't do because you're going to get your head blown off. You can swipe.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's little, but it's like, it makes so much sense because the character has to stand up to look out. And
that's
the general theme with all the things is, like, you know, there's one lever that's like to put your tank into, like, high speed mode, which makes it run faster, but you can't aim as well. And you pull down on this lever on your left, or the periscope, you, like, reach up and pull down, for the most of the time, the movement, there's, like, two modes in the cockpit, or two, like, there's, I mean, there's different things, but there's two like general view modes. One is you're like kind of back in the cockpit. You can see everything. You can, you know, move around and see your fellow operators, or you like push your controller forward with both hands, which Errol was making fun of me on Twitter because I was complaining that in the game it says put both hands forward, and I was like, how am I supposed to do this with a controller? But you actually just put the controller forward, and that...
Because that move both hands.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know. I feel like the game just should say, push the controller forward. It would make more sense.
They could have said that as well, but I mean, it's logical that if your hands are on the controller, that if it senses, like, your both arms are going to go at the same time.
No, of course you're supposed to drop the controller and push the hands forward.
Well, that's the thing, because all the other motions are like one-handed motions, so you hold the controller with one hand, and you do the motion with your free hand. And this is the only one that's
two-handed.
And at first you're sitting, so I put it on my lap and then put my hands forward. And I was like, this is so ridiculous. And then I just did it with the controller and it worked perfectly. And I was like, okay. And so you put your controller forward and that's how you get in the kind of the action view mode, so to speak. Like that's where you see out the tank and you have a better view of the battlefield.
I mean, just to kind of... on the flip side, is that you said that you can do this stuff one-handed. So if they told you to just move the controller forward, but if you had just done that with one hand, now maybe they want to recognize both hands moving at the same time, which is why they say that.
Yeah, or they could say, like, move the controller forward with both hands, or... I don't know. I mean, okay. I mean, it's a little bit of me being stupid, but I'll grant you that. I'll grant you that.
did you get any sense in the demo of how much of... a hardcore simulation it will be, or is it probably... I would assume it's probably not as hardcore as the previous title.
I never played the original one. I've only heard the stories. I would venture, I guess, to say it's not as hardcore. It's,
But it's still not arcade-y? Or?
No, it's not arcade-y at all. It's, I don't know how to... It's very much like a grounded... you know, war tank shooter.
So it still gets...
I mean,
it's
as much of a simulation as, like, Battlefield is probably a, you know, a good example. Like, it's heavy doses of realism, but without being, like, overly realistic, you know, for a game.
Okay. Yeah, that still works for me.
Yeah, it's fun. I think the only thing I'm worried about is there's one mission in the demo, and it seems like it might be get a little bit chaotic later in the game when there's a lot of stuff going on in the battlefield, because you're constantly switching between your different views, and like one time you get hit. I mean, you guys have seen it in the trailers. You get hit and one of your fellow tank operators freaks out and tries to climb out of the tank, so you have to pull back and pull him back in and like punch the sense out of him, and like it's pretty funny, but it's Yeah, I was really impressed, and do you guys know who the developer is for this? I know Capcom's publishing it, but...
I'm not sure. It might be the same team that did the original. I'm not sure.
They were Canadian or something, right? Or was they Japanese?
They were Japanese.
Oh, okay. Well, if they're Japanese, then they did a good job, because it doesn't have that usual Japanese
software.
Cheapness.
Yeah, oh, right, From Software is doing this one, right?
Well, I'm impressed then, because it has a little bit of cheesiness, but like not as much as, you know, like Binary Domain or X Japanese game this generation.
It's pretty funny that From Software is basically, it seems like, delivering a better mech game that is not even their own IP. The Armored Core, the newest one, didn't turn out that well, sadly. So, I'm pretty excited for this. I still have to think about getting the Kinect, I think.
Well, at this point, they'll be giving them away at E3. Seems like Microsoft is finding some way to bond with them. I mean, it's still a somewhat healthy platform. Let's see how... This is an Xbox... Is this a retail Xbox Live Arcade title?
Retail. Definitely retail.
Okay. Hopefully it does better than the original, which isn't surprising since the original costs like $200.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this: if you do have a Kinect, 100% go download the demo and try it out. Like, this is, you know, this is the kind of Kinect experience most of us have been waiting for. And I don't know if, you know, if you don't have a Kinect, is this one game gonna be what draws you in to buying one?
I think
maybe remains to be seen. I mean, I personally don't like buying any platform for one game, but we'll see. But yeah, it's very positive coming out of the demo.
That's the problem I have. But maybe the Crimson Dragon game will also turn out great.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's my most anticipated Kinect title. I was also going to say that Kinect, in a way, kind of reminds me of, well, kind of like the Wii for some people, is that I think this game can get people to buy it. But I do think Kinect has a lot of interesting projects. I mean, specifically for my interest, I had Gunslinger and then Central. So it'd be like, I wouldn't buy a device for that, but if this ended up being an awesome game and I bought the device, there are games that I would want to play on it.
Right, and that's kind of how, I mean, yeah, that's kind of how I am. Like, there's other things I was interested in. Like, I like Dance Central, it's pretty fun, especially with lots of drinks and friends. Fruit Ninja on Kinect is like it's Fruit Ninja, but it's like the best version of Fruit Ninja because you're actually chopping and stuff. It's super fun. Gunstringer was a good time.
Apparently, you don't watch the Giant Bomb or the VGAs because they had the quote unquote best version of Fruit Ninja.
With Felicia Day?
When you actually cut fruit, so.
Yeah, well, I guess short of having a sword and someone to throw fruit at you, this is the best. So I guess. But I mean, yeah, it's if you're interested in those other games we just mentioned and things like, you know, the Mass Effect integration, or I mean, I'm sure we'll see some more stuff out of E3 that is hopefully compelling too. But a very, very good first impression from Steel Battalion.
Yeah, would be funny if Steel Battalion marked the future for hardcore simulations on Kinect. So you basically have the two extremes, simulations and casual titles.
Yeah, I mean, could happen. I also this week started the Game of Thrones game, finally got from Gamefly, so that's the RPG by Cyanide Studios. It's okay. I mean, it's not as bad as I was expecting, based on the reviews. It was getting like, you know, some like fours and stuff, but I will say it's not very pretty. I don't know whether that's talent or funding or, you know, whatever. The dialogue is a couple steps short of, you know, the show or the books, which is, you know, that's such a big part of both of those that it's pretty disappointing that they couldn't have, you know, better writers work on this. But the story itself, I mean, it's early, but it seems interesting. It's in a really awesome universe, obviously. And I think my other complaint is just the combat is kind of like a MMO style, like queue up your attacks, wait for your special meter to recharge and queue up more attacks instead of like real time, like, you know, X is, you know, one attack, Y is special attack or something like that. Mm. So it remains to be seen. It's kind of a shaky start, but
how far are you into it?
About an hour and a half, 2 hours, not too far.
So it can get better.
Yeah, it could definitely get better. It could also, you know, get worse. So
let's keep our positivity hat on today.
Yeah, for an RPG, 1-2 hours is not that much. So
exactly.
Maybe you can say some more next week or something like that. Would be nice if it's at least a decent rental or something. Because I also enjoy the universe a lot, and I think a game in this universe has actually a lot of potential.
But, I mean, on the same hand, we also have the books and the TV show, so it is enough if you want to get invested in the universe.
But gaming is still something else.
True. I mean, it's also kind of, I mean, because Game of Thrones RPG, like a properly done one, would kind of be along the lines of like Skyrim or something.
Maybe.
Not
Doesn't
necessarily.
have
I mean,
to be. But
it could be. I think it, if it was more, if it was along the lines of like Dragon Age, or you know, like a
yeah.
back, like and that's what it feels like it's trying to shoot for, with mixed results so far. The
Yeah.
other thing is, it did take like the first half an hour is like, cutscenes and like character menus before you like ever get to control your character, which is something
So
that
it's
kind
kind
of
of
bothered
annoying.
me a little bit. But
Yeah. It's one of the things that turned me off to MGS4.
you don't want me to punch you, so.
Oh, wow. I thought we were keeping on our hat of positivity today. So, Martin, instead of threatening people, what have you been?
So, I guess first I want to talk a bit more about Max Payne 3 because now I've finished the game. I still
Ooh.
think that the multiplayer is great and probably the best part of the game.
I feel like there's a giant butt coming here about single player,
Is
though.
there an online path?
Yeah, the problem is I really enjoyed the single player last time we talked, and I still think the storyline, while lacking humor, is still pretty cool. It's really dark and hard-boiled, so I still really enjoyed it. It's a bit of a change, but I think it works. The main problem for me is that the game felt too long. It's something I don't say often these days, but the game definitely felt too long. It is probably like 10 to 12 hours, and as we know, Max Payne doesn't have the most complex mechanics, so it kind of stretches over such a long time.
I was gonna say, it has to be a really interesting game if you kind of wear out your welcome within 10 hours.
Yeah. I mean, the previous Max Payne 1 and Max Payne 2, they both were like 5 or 6 hour games. They weren't that long, and they totally work in this time frame. You basically then later could go back and just replay them on the higher difficulties, which changed a lot because the game got a lot more difficult and you had to use your movement much more wisely. I don't think I would go back to this game again.
Well, not single player.
Not the single player, exactly. Also because I thought it might be just the first half of the game which tries to set up a lot of stuff. But the game also has lots and lots of cutscenes. And I might sound here like a hypocrite because I still love the Metal Gear Solid series.
I don't know why, but.
The problem here is more that these cutscenes are too frequent. You basically sometimes you have like this awesome encounter with all these enemies in a room, and then you want to go on, have some more of that, and cutscene. Wait a few more minutes. Then, all right, now I can shoot people again. You cleared out the room, and cutscene. And that's something that happens way too often in this game. You get the action gets interrupted so often, and you and even if you want to replay it, and then maybe you want to skip the cutscenes to get faster to these action sequences, you can't because these cutscenes are masking the pretty long loading times. So if you try to skip them. I tried. Basically says, still loading, still loading, still loading, and I could only skip some of these cutscenes basically like 10 or 20 seconds before they were over anyway. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's something I did not particularly like, I have to say. So single player is fine for one playthrough, but I would not go back to it. The multiplayer, like I said, it's still pretty great.
Okay. Okay, well, maybe.
And if you don't have any questions, the other game I played, and that's what I told you earlier, well, that I have to eat some crow, is Ghost Recon Future Soldier.
It's actually awesome.
It's actually good.
Well, it begs the question, why did they throw a clearly broken, or not broken, but just poor quality build out for the quote-unquote beta?
The real question is, actually, why did the developers say that the beta basically represents final code? Because it clearly didn't.
Yeah.
I first thing I did when I got the game was jump into the multiplayer to see what changed. And it was obvious right from the start that the frame rate improved a lot. I no longer have any frame rate complaints in the multiplayer. And I also did not have any latency issues. The game runs smoothly like it should. So my two main complaints from the beta are already resolved. So I started spending some more time than actually in the beta in the multiplayer, and I'm really liking it. It's really, really fun. Right now, even the class, which I didn't like at the beginning, the engineer, I saw that not a lot of people were picking him, so I said, well, why are people not trying to play engineer? Let's see. And I didn't have much fun until I reached level 4 with him, when I unlocked the UAV, which you can control yourself. But then the engineer becomes, I think, the best class in the whole game. Because you can, you have sensor grenades, which you can throw, and basically then you can, for a short time, can see enemies through walls and stuff. And you can also control the UAV, and wherever the camera of the UAV points to, when enemies go basically through the view of the UAV, everyone from your team can see them on their radar and basically on their heart as a silhouette in red. And even if you don't kill them yourself, if someone from your team kills them while you basically gave them intel about the enemies, you still get 200 experience points, which is more than killing them yourself would give you.
So it's kind of like Gears of War when you mark a target.
Yeah.
And if... Okay.
Yeah, so engineer is actually really fun to play.
That was actually one of my favorite parts about the original Ghost Recon game. It's that it's a bit more of a tactical shooter than most, standard military shooter. It's like part of the UAV is like trying to get it overhead without making the enemies actually spot it.
Yeah, and especially in this game, the new thing all about this is, of course, future, stuff like that. And mostly it's about the soldiers having all these different forms of intel about the enemy, what kind of weapons they have, where they are, stuff like that. And they basically use that to, I think, make the multiplayer even more tactical than before, because you now you don't not only have to think about the other team actually seeing you, you also have to think about all the technology that might detect you, and that's pretty great. I think the multiplayer is still very tactical, very tactical. If you just run and gun, you're not going to go very far. It really shows that this multiplayer part was developed by Red Storm themselves. It's once again one of these games where three Ubisoft studios worked on the game. So the multiplayer part was apparently done by Red Storm themselves. And the fun thing is, when you go to the main menu, the multiplayer is the first thing in the menu, and it gives you an indication what I'm going to say next.
It's great. It's awesome. It's spectacular.
Multiplayer is uneven, I would say. It's not bad. It's not bad. But it sometimes just shows that they want to reach a market that was previously not into Ghost Recon games. They are I would say just say the campaign is uneven, because they have, on the one side, you have the stuff that makes Ghost Recon is the most fun is trying to be stealthy during your missions. Try to go through these encounters with enemies, basically not being seen at all. You can actually use synchronized shots, which is pretty nice. It's kind of an evolution of the mark and execute thing from Splinter Cell Conviction, if you still remember that, where you could mark a couple of enemies, then just push a button, and you would execute all of them. In this game, because you have a team of four, you can mark four people. Everyone from the team will pick one of these enemies. You can see them basically taking positions in the field, and you can see their line of sight going to the head of the enemies. And the nice thing is, no matter where your position is and which enemy you take yourself, because you are the fourth guy, even if you pick one enemy which already one of your teammates has set the sights on, they are just clever enough to then pick the other guy. So you can set up these shots however you like, and as soon as you fire, all your teammates will fire, and four guys will go down at the same time. Which is pretty fun to figure out how enemies patrol in one area, to basically pick out four guys that you can basically separate from the rest of the enemies in this particular area, so you can go through it basically undetected to kill everyone. Super fun. On the other hand, there are the more action-oriented missions, where you have like stuff like Call of Duty, where you have to defend the positions with tons of Russians coming at you. And that stuff just doesn't fit Ghost Recon that well. And that feels kind of boring and what I've seen dozens of times before. And that's why I'm saying uneven, because they are still trying to make you go through those levels more stealthy with specific challenges. But sometimes you have to do the action approach, and I don't like that as much. The option I did enjoy is, which is more action-oriented, but it just has a great presentation, is the extraction of hostages. You sometimes have to breach a room, which goes to slow motion, stuff like that. We've seen that.
Shocker.
But the fun thing then is that you then grab the hostage by the arm, you drag them along while holding a pistol out, and then the game kind of turns into a rail shooter. And it kind of goes into this hyper mode where all kind of shit is going wrong around you, and you have to get this hostage through all those enemies attacking your team. And that's pretty fun, because it's really well presented. Only happened twice, though, in the whole game. So they knew not to do it too
often. Overuse it, yeah.
So that's pretty fun. That's an action moment, but still well done, because you had to basically stealth your way to this point, and then all this shit happens. So I think that's fine. That works. They also try to, I should say, basically the story makes no sense for me. I have no idea what is going on. There are, I don't know, one ghost team dies, we hunt down some arms dealer, and then I am in Russia overthrowing a government. I don't know why.
I don't mean, Russia's always the bad guys, though.
Poor Russia. He's done nothing wrong.
Coherent story. But at least the missions can still be fun, so I guess that it's not that important. The other thing they're trying to do is humanize these the team of soldiers you're playing, which is, well, not going so well is kind of the stereotypical thing. So stop me if you heard this before. You have the sniper, who is this level-headed guy. You have the LMG guy, who is the joker of the group. And then you have your commander, who is very strict and knows his shit, but shows sometimes his human side. And then you are, well, you don't really have a characteristic, except you are a generic white guy who can also speak Russian. So, yeah, there you go. They're trying, but it's not really working.
It happens.
The thing is that you can play through the whole campaign with four players co-op, so that's pretty cool.
That's one of the reasons I was looking at it, is because I'm trying to get my friends into another type of game. I didn't want another shooter, but Ghost Recon is something they actually do enjoy.
Yeah, and you can also, in co-op, basically do this mark and execute thing, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, hopefully that isn't, because some people are just hotheads. It happens.
Yeah, so overall, I would say it's a really good game, but if you're just in it for the single player, maybe a rental, I would say. If you also enjoy this kind of more tactical multiplayer gameplay, totally get it. It's really fun.
Okay. And I guess really quickly, before we move on to news, I've been playing Pushmo because I really wanted to play Paper Mario, and then somebody reminded me that it defeats the purpose to buy an old game I've already beaten when there's so many new games I haven't played yet. And I want instant gratification, and this is like 10 at night, so the 3DS, the eShop was right there, and I wanted to get Pushmo. The first thing, and it's a really minor campaign, and it's really stupid, is I think the name doesn't fit the game because you end up spending most of your time pulling stuff. And I realize pushing and pulling is such a minor complaint, but it's so odd because the game's always telling you, like, pull this, pull that, and I'm like, it's named Pushmo, because apparently that's the name of the little creatures who, again, don't push anything much, so.
By the way, the game is called in Europe Pull Blocks.
Yeah, that makes more sense in Europe. I don't know why the... because they did the same thing with Dylan's Rolling Western, where it has a different name in each territory, and I'm not exactly sure why. But, yeah, it's a fun little puzzle game, which, you know, it's always difficult. It seems to be difficult to come up with a new puzzle game idea. And this is kind of, I don't want to say it's like the opposite of Tetris, but, it, you know, like you have a board, and usually it's a bunch of pieces put together. And the idea is that you can pull forward a piece three spaces. But you can only put forward as much ground as there is without your character falling off. So, like, if you pull it back out three, the next block would automatically mean it can only be pulled out two, because the third time would put you over the edge, and then the next one would only be one. So it's just a puzzle game around that idea of, like, we'll give you various block setups and stuff like this, and you have to find your way to navigate to the top to rescue the push mode that's trapped in each level. And it's a long tutorial. I've played about 100 and yeah, just about 100 puzzles, and I would wager that about a third of those are just teaching you the various elements of the game. I mean, the basic two are, of course, pushing and pulling. But as you go further on, you end up getting stuff like manholes, which is like a way to teleport around the stage faster. And you get these buttons that will act like if you step on them, will automatically push out any block of the same color and stuff like that. And that opens up a whole new depth of gameplay as well. And it's been a terrific amount of fun. I've been playing it on my commute because it's a great way to waste time. It's a 3DS game that, you know, it's simple and short and focused, so I can play like a stage or two without being, you know, like overwhelmed or without thinking I'm not making any progress. It's always hard to use this term because it means different things to different people, but I think it's charming. The music's very relaxing, not tense at all. The characters are adorable. I think the main character makes like a squishy sound when he jumps and stuff, which again isn't anything important, but it does add to the overall charm of the game. The one thing I would say is because a lot of it has been tutorial so far, I really hate the fact that it's one of those games that You can have a tutorial sometimes, though, just, but I hate the tutorials that actually stop the game to say, okay, here's what you have to do. You're going to go do it. And once you do it, we're going to stop the game again to make sure you know that you did what we told you to do so that we can explain the next step. And it's just like, yeah, just kind of tell me what you want me to do. I'll do it, and then I'll continue going on my way. But, yeah, that's not what happened. I haven't tested it out yet because there's a lot of puzzles in this game. I would, based on the map, I would say there's somewhere close to 200, 250. But you can also create your own puzzles. And you can download puzzles that people have created and shared already. So I haven't messed around with any of that yet because I still have the ton in the games. But it is neat, and it's kind of... I mean, I guess it depends how some people... But you unlock stuff for the game. You unlock stuff for created puzzles in the game. So you actually have to do... You do have to create a single-player game before you start creating stages anyhow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the further along you go, you create, you know, like, once you open manholes and complete, like, the first two puzzles, you get to use manholes in the actual created stage. And then when you get the, I forget what the pull switches are called, but let's go with that for now. And that unlocks in the Pushmo, I forget what it's called exactly, Pushmo Studio. So, yeah, it's a fun little game, $7, can't really go wrong. I have this problem when I got a 3DS game. It doesn't really do anything fancy with 3D, so you don't actually have to play it with 3D on, but it's a charming little game, and I think it's worth the $7.
Yeah, I've played it as well, and I would also say that it's pretty great, especially for the price. If you think about that, it theoretically has infinite gameplay when you can get all those user levels.
It's also funny how Nintendo focuses on, like, user-created stuff on these small scales.
Yeah.
DevOnware Do It Yourself is also a eShop title, I believe.
Yeah.
So,
true.
There you go. So, yeah, that's all I've been playing, and that's all we've been playing this week, I guess. I assume this segment's going to be cut out the next 2 weeks, so hopefully we don't pay too much.
There are no games.
We'll discuss that later on in the show. Right now, we'll get to news. And I guess the biggest two stories this week were actually more industry-related than they were game-related. And I think the first would have to be the 38 Studios story, which we touched on last week, and since then has gone completely south. The company has been completely dissolved. All the employees let go.
Yeah. Huge bummer.
Yeah. It's a ginormous waste of talent. I mean, they were a studio. I think both studios were created this generation.
No.
When big.
Big Huge Games is pretty old. They have been doing PC games before. They've made some pretty great strategy games for the PC.
But they're gone as well. And it was one of those things again where, you know, like, details come out and stuff like that, and the fact that, what is it? I think Kingdom of the Amalia had to sell 3 million copies to break even.
Yeah, for a new IP, from a new studio.
It's just like one of those benchmarks that doesn't seem realistic on paper, so you shouldn't budget a game to say, like, I mean, 3 million, again, isn't a huge benchmark anymore in the industry. Games surpass it every day now, but it's still something. It's a new IP that nobody had heard of. And it's a game that kind of has other competition that's more popular. And it sold, I think, 1.3 million or something like that.
Yeah, and they didn't do the best job of marketing the game, I think. Even I, who played the game and very much enjoyed it, didn't really think about getting it, I think, 1 week before the game, I think, I started thinking about getting it.
You see, I don't know any advertisement or marketing for the game.
Well, it had pretty positive coverage out of, like, trade shows and previews and stuff. There was some noise. I mean, I don't know about the, like, general market in terms of, you know, TV ads, web ads and stuff.
Yeah,
like
but the general market is where you basically make your millions.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
Yeah, and, you know, like, it's coming out, even coming out of trade shows, you can come out positive. But I think it's really hard to keep up that momentum because you get dozens of games coming out of trade shows, and you know, like you have to keep it on people's minds. You have to keep it, you know, like something people are talking about. Not just like, oh, this game was really impressive at E3, and then we don't hear about it again until it comes out in February.
Yeah. But you also maybe can kind of blame here EA. The EA Partners program doesn't seem to be the best thing.
No, has any game worked out for that yet? I mean, I don't know.
I think Crysis is the only one.
Portal 2.
That's Valve, though.
That was EA Partners. Yeah, it was.
That's not EA Partners. EA is just publishing it. Basically, they are just using their channels to bring it to retail, but they are not really publishing it.
Okay.
I just looked it up. It's an EA Partners.
You're sure?
Yeah. That's what it says. It's
go to Google.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Because I'm pretty sure it's not to deal with the other Valve games that have come out, so...
Maybe not, but Portal 2...
It says, well, according to Wiki, and it's Voidstorm from Epic, it's Crysis from Crytek, Deathspank from Hotheads, it's Hellgate London from Flagship, Kingdoms, Left 4 Dead, the Orange Box Portal from Valve, Overstrike from Insomniac Games, Rock Band from Harmonix and MTV, The Second World from Funcom, Shadows of the Damned, Grasshopper, Shank, Warp, and...
The Respawn.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of that stuff did not work out.
Well, I mean, it depends. It's not that they're not working out because of the publishing agreement, though.
No.
Look at the ones that didn't work out. I mean, you know, Hellgate just got shat on. I mean, you know, Shadows of the Damned just didn't sell. I mean, it's not really. But then you have the Rock Bands. You have Valve games.
I think Rock Band would have sold no matter who published it.
but that list must be wrong, because Rock Band was also not published by EA. They were published by MTV Games, and EA was also just
It seems like some of these are co-publishers EA had helped out, and then because I think Insomniac Games, I mean Overstrike, for example, is an EA partner title, and that is an EA property.
But that's the whole point, is that EA is helping these studios.
Yeah, but I think what he's saying is that...
And the agreement is less restrictive than a normal publishing agreement. And these studios retain things like IP ownership and stuff like that. I mean, I think it's a cool program.
I think the idea is novel. I actually, you know, it's kind of like a way to... I don't want to say indie games, but it is a way to kind of allow people to kind of forego the publisher-developer relationship because, and I guess, like I said, the other big story of this week was details came out of the Activision-Bungie deal due to this impending lawsuit they have with Respawn Studio. All the details of their contract came out. And part of that is, like, I think the first game has to sell 6 million units or they can terminate the contract. It's 5 million, and if Halo Reach came out and didn't sell 6 million units in 6 months, they could have terminated the project.
It did have to have, like, a 90-plus Metacritic.
90-plus Metacritic. I think it's not Metacritic. I think they use game rankings.
Who cares?
I think if this game doesn't get... 90% of game rankings on Metacritic, whatever, they get a $1.5 million bonus. If it doesn't reach that, they don't get that bonus. And there's a bunch of other things. But I don't feel bad for either party because you do agree to this.
Yeah.
And I don't think, and this is the same thing that kind of came out with, Fallout New Vegas with that studio when they missed it by 1 point.
Obsidian, yeah.
Yeah, I have no problem with incentive-based bonuses. Like, there's a ton of industries that work on that philosophy, so I don't see why the game industry should be, you know...
Yeah, but these rankings are so arbitrary on these sites.
It should at least be, like, tiered or something, not just, that 90, you get your bonus, and 89, you don't. It should be, like, you know... Now you get a really big bonus, and in the 80s or something, you get like half of that or something like that.
Well, like if you get like an 89.7, if they round up, but it's just like you didn't get a 90.
I could see Activision being like that.
And it was kind of weird, because reading this, is like, I always thought Bungie got out of the whole deal with Microsoft because they didn't want to continuously work on Halo. But the terms of this contract is they're working on the same franchise for a decade, pretty much. I think it's four games, one every 2 years.
Well, three games, each with one expansion.
No, it's four games.
Three?
No, I think it's four.
Four?
Yeah.
You sure? I thought it was three.
No, it's four games, and every year they don't have a game, they're supposed to have a big expansion.
The
first game is exclusive to the Xbox, and they have the option of extending it to the Xbox successor, the 360, the PlayStation 4, and PC, with the second game. If the game does not sell, I think it's like 5 months and 6 months, Activision has the right to terminate the contract. If it doesn't get... there's a lot of things in it. One that was really odd that came out today is that I believe they said that Valve, Gearbox, and somebody else cannot work on any, and Epic can't work on any content for the game.
Which I think is not that weird, as people do, apparently. I can understand why Bungie would do something like that. They know what happened to the Call of Duty franchise, and they probably see themselves on a level with those three developers, and they don't want to lose the possibility to work on this franchise themselves.
I guess that makes sense. It's just really funny.
Yeah, that's true. But I can understand why it would be in there.
No, I can understand why, because, I mean, if anything, I would imagine those would be their major competition in the shooter market, and you don't want them to upstage you. It makes perfect sense. It's just really funny that they stipulated that. The other thing that came out is that this is going to be a sci-fi shooter. I think a lot of people have...
MMO shooter.
MMO shooter. Which should be interesting.
Yeah. Especially the console.
I guess we'll find out more about this game, because the first one's actually due to come out next Christmas. Friday.
The thing is, from what I understand, the contract is pretty old. And some of that stuff might have changed.
Okay. Because I know there was...
But because, personally, I don't really think we will see this game on this generation of consoles.
Maybe not.
I kind of doubt it.
I could see it being like an Xbox 720 launch title.
Yeah, that would make sense. But
yeah, there was another stipulation in the contract, and I assume this is another contract, which is probably why we get the games we do at times, is that if you don't make the release window short of a natural disaster, you end up losing money. I think it's like 1.5% every month or something like that.
Mm.
So it was interesting to see that side of the industry because, you know, we've heard of things like this before. It came up before with the Obsidian deal and stuff like that. But I think this is the first time we've actually ever got to see a big-time publisher develop a contract out in the open and some of the things that came to light about that.
Yeah. The other interesting thing in the contract was that Bungie is apparently also working on a new Marathon game. But only 5% of the staff are allowed to work on it.
I think specifically 5% of the key staff.
Yeah.
I think they can have a entry level workers doing it, but 5% of the head honchos can actually work at this project at one time.
Yeah.
it's just a lot of odgy specific things in these contracts, but I guess everybody wants to cover their ass.
Yeah. But it's still kind of disheartening to see some of that stuff.
It is, but I assume a lot of this goes on behind the industry. We just never get to see it because, again, it's not something that the game and media actually brought up. It was something that was kind of released on the internet, and people on Gaff and stuff combed through it.
Yeah.
It happens. Another thing that was received really well this week, of course, was that Dead Island Game of the Year edition was announced. And I guess the question everybody asked is if you win one Game of the Year, can you actually have a Game of the Year edition?
Apparently.
I mean, technically speaking, you need one as long as you were a Game of the Year. It's not false advertisement.
They did win one?
I don't know who gave them Game of the Year, but...
I don't like the general use of the term Game of the Year edition, because there's it's not like we have like an Oscars to, you know, coronate any game as Game of the Year. Really.
Oh, we have some that are close to it, but I don't think they are really that high televised or, you know, publicized, whatever.
Right. Like the AIAS awards.
Yeah. Because, yeah, like, it's kind of weird, because Canada has their own Games Awards. Didn't even know about it until people were celebrating the fact that it's X1. And I'm like, yeah, what other Canadian developed games did we have last year? But apparently there's a ton of them that come out.
Yeah, and then, I mean, there's BAFTAs, there's the dual-wielding Game of the Year Awards. The most
I mean, Saints Row should have a Game of the Year edition. I think we all agree on that. But, yeah, it's, I mean, I think that's why they can get away with it, is because there's so many sites and stuff that give out Game of the Year editions. I mean, Game of the Year awards, that you can just say, oh, I found this on some random blog and it was Game of the Year. So, I mean, it's, like I said, it's not false advertisement, and if it's not Game of the Year, they're just going to rebundle it as, like, a Platinum Edition or the Collector's Edition or, you know, like, the, you know, expanded, something like that, so... Not a big deal. I mean, I don't know how many people are going to like drop to buy that Island Game of the Year edition, so we shall see.
I might.
You're a weird kid.
I have not played it Island yet, so...
You were waiting for the Game of the Year edition, huh?
No. I just got a good deal on that island, but maybe the Game of the Year edition will get cheap pretty fast and then I will pick it up.
Yeah, I know when that happens with limited editions or collector's editions, when they start selling for less than the actual retail product. Because they're only hot for, like, release, and then, like, 2 or 3 months later, nobody's in the market for it anymore. So they usually drop to, like, 30, 20, 40 bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. We also had a Harry Potter Connect title announced, because the first Harry Potter Connect title was so amazing.
Sure.
I mean, it could be alright. Who knows?
It won't be.
It won't be.
Don't they have a decent developer on this one? Shit, I forget who. Excuse me, Google.
Moving on. WWE 13 trailer was released or leaked. I don't know if it's THQ or the WWE who can't keep their mouth shut, but they were pretty quick on taking them down on YouTube. It took me like 20 minutes to actually find a working one. This actually, somehow these games continue to look worse. I swear, like, somehow they graphically degrade over time. Like, this looks worse than WWE 12, which in turn looks worse than the SmackDown vs. Raw series. And it looks like they continue to not make any major gameplay advancements, so they're hiding it behind some nifty gimmicks like breaking the ring, which I don't really know how that's useful in the game, or breaking through the barricade. And that's about it. So, yeah, it's another WWE game by THQ, hidden behind some cheap gimmicks that they won't put in the next game. So, there you go. Though, a game I am looking forward to, we had our first gameplay and first movie announcement for 007 Legends. And surprisingly enough, it was Moonraker, which...
Told you!
I called that as well, because of all the Bond movies, as much as I hate it, Moonraker is the one movie that is most ripe for a game adaptation.
And I just thought it would be funny.
Yeah. I think it's funny in the sense that, because it is a hated movie, but...
Yeah.
It has a lot of elements that really work.
Moonraker is awesome. Don't be hating.
No, Moonraker is awful. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Moonraker is an awful Bond movie.
But it has Jaws.
I love that movie. I love it.
It has Jaws.
It has Jaws.
Definitely top five Bond movies.
Wow, I don't think we can have you on my podcast anymore. Moonraker is in my top three bottom Bond movies. And the only reason it's not the bottom is because I really, really hate Diamonds Are Forever. And let's just be honest, Die Another Day is just a travesty on film. So... So yes, but yeah, it looks like GoldenEye. It looks like GoldenEye in space, I should say. They have the gazes and stuff like that.
Yeah, seems like they're using the same engine.
Yeah, I imagine. Which is kind of odd, because it's a Wii engine, so it doesn't look like a really...
It looked decent on the HD consoles. It didn't blow me away, but it probably didn't look much worse than, I don't know, some of the recent Call of Duty titles.
Yeah, but even Call of Duty's have never really been that graphically impressive. I think most of Call of Duty has always been trying to stick to like 60 frames per second for that super smooth experience.
But didn't GoldenEye on the HD consoles also run at 60?
And it looked like it didn't look that great. We just established that. yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I have up on the site if you want to check it out. I have an article where I name like, the 5 films I think are possible. And Moonraker was my number one pick because, like I said, it's the most adept for video games. Oh, yeah, and they're doing that whole social media viral marketing stuff I hate. It doesn't, like, if you're a really great game, it works for you, but something like this, it's, like, hasn't worked out yet because I think they're asking for, like, 500 likes per picture for you to unlock screenshots. I'm like, nobody's going to like that. And they didn't get 500. Last I checked, it was, like, 175 2 days after the announcement.
That's not going to work out.
Yeah, they're at 327 right now. Yeah, and it's always sad when this happens because this isn't the first game it's happened to. There's a ton of games where people are trying, you know, people do this and it doesn't work out because nobody's interested in it. It kind of got old the first two or three times.
I refuse to take part in this stuff because I am not going to do your marketing for your publishers. Sorry.
Especially being a parent, it's per screenshot, so it's not even like in the page because some of them have... Now, one has 337 and the other one has 33. So you're doing this per screenshot. Yeah, that's not going to work. Sucks for them, but there you go. News, rumors, teasers, whatever, of a new Castlevania. Two new Castlevanias.
Yeah, actually two.
Castlevania was a shadow. Konami put up a teaser site about the Dragon Returns.
Yeah.
And I guess Dracula is basically a translation of the dragon. So that didn't take people long to figure that out. And there was another rumor of, well, I guess this has pretty much been confirmed at this point as well, of Castlevania Mirror of Faith, which is a 3DS game, which uses a cel-shaded look, I heard.
I'm almost surprised that it took this long to get a Castlevania 3DS game, given how many there were on the last two Nintendo handhelds.
but this one is not supposed to be by EGA. It's supposed to be like some of the stuff from the Lords of Shadow.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, is that EGA made all of those Metroidvania games, and I guess since he's not involved with this, it probably be, you know, it's probably a new engine and stuff like that, and from what I understand, his stock in the company has really downgraded recently, so...
Which I would not blame Konami for.
And I'm assuming that they're probably hard on work on Castlevania Judgment 2 for the Wii U.
Yeah, sure.
Cause that's
I have to say, I really like Lords of Shadows, and I think so did you, right?
I enjoy it, but I don't think a lot of people consider it a Castlevania game.
Yeah, I don't give a shit. I really like the game, so I'm kind of excited for a sequel.
Yeah, so, what can you do? Are you excited for a new Castlevania? Do you think that Konami's press conference is actually this week, right?
Not sure.
I think it's like Thursday or Friday.
They're always weird.
Yeah, they have like a pre-E3 press conference, which they pre-tape now because apparently they don't want to display awesomeness anymore.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's that. Also, words, and I think Martin was extremely excited for this, of the Valve is teaming up with the guys behind Payday the Heist for some type of Payday for Dead crossover type experiment.
Yeah, I still don't know what to make of it, but I'm kind of excited for it. I mean, Left 4 Dead is great. Valve is great. They do good games. What kind of sentence was that? They do good games. They make good games, I think, yeah. And Payday the Heist was actually kind of an interesting concept. Flawed in some aspects, but I think those two working together on a game would be pretty exciting, but I don't think it's... I'm not sure if that's really the deal here.
I don't know, but I'm kind of excited because, like I said, I have a dead Valve. And so far, done no wrong in my book. I'm sure there are other people who, because people like to joke, Valve can't count to three. So, there's that. Maybe it's for the best. And then we have a trio of game days. Tomb Raider, DMC, and Aliens Colonial Marines were all pushed into Q1 of next year.
I didn't even know that DMC had a release date.
I don't think any of them had a hard release date.
Tomb Raider had a release date for this year, but I'm not surprised that it is not coming out.
Yeah, we haven't seen anything of it since. Actually, we saw something of it last night.
That doesn't count.
But yeah, we haven't really seen anything of it since last year's E3, and even then it was kind of it was a nice looking game, but I think it was like rough gameplay wise, where it's like an intro level, which is basically a quick time event.
Yeah.
And
there was a leaked video of some freeform gameplay, but that was taken down pretty quickly.
And I think Aliens Colonial Marines, I just assume it's not coming out. I think there's a second delay in the game until whenever.
Maybe the delay is also because they want to do a simultaneous launch on all the consoles. And I mean, they want to hit the Wii U.
Yeah,
at the same time, maybe.
I think if that was the case, it'd make more sense to be there at the Wii U's launch.
Who knows? Maybe the launch is in Q1.
Maybe. Oh, no,
I doubt that. Yeah.
Nintendo. I mean,
I'm just joking.
Let's say that's the one thing they've remained consistent on is that the launch is this year. I mean, it narrowed down from between April and the end of the year to this holiday season, but it's been this year. I mean, that's not to say Nintendo has never delayed anything when they said they would, but I think missing this holiday season, especially with the Wii, pretty much, well, it's dead in the water at this point, would really cripple them.
Yeah.
DMC, I didn't know, had it already stayed, so it's delayed into Q1. And like we said before, these Q1 games will be delayed into Q2, Q3, Q4 next year as well. So
at this point, Q1 seems fuller than this holiday season.
Yeah, I don't want to say that just yet because we haven't gone to E3 yet.
Yeah.
Especially with a new console launching. So, it's always hard to tell. Maybe everybody's running from the console launch.
Maybe.
Yes, and then we got word of a Zone of the Enders. Well, Zone of the Enders HD comes out next month.
Yeah.
Collection, I should say. And then Zone of the Enders, there's a new project in the work, which is a prequel, I believe.
Not really. It's just supposed not to be futuristic, but more like in some kind of fantasy universe or something like that. So the design of Jehuti is totally different from before. It kind of looks like if you mix the art style of Dark Souls with Zone of the Enders. I guess that's what you get.
Okay.
They basically kind of confirmed that they are working on a new Zone of the Enders. No firm release date or something like that. It should use the, what is it called, Fox Engine?
Yes.
New engine, yeah. So yeah. I'm pretty excited. I love Zone of the Enders games. They're pretty awesome. So I don't expect them on this generation of consoles, though.
Yeah. So
it seems like the engine is made for
next gen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Part of it is because the Japanese developers have just really been behind the 8-ball this generation, as far as getting stuff up and ready to go.
Yeah, and Zone of the Enders, the Zone of the Enders project that has been announced is also not going full steam ahead with the game. It's more like a small team that's working on the concept right now.
Yeah.
So it might take some time.
Maybe it'll be like Metal Gear Solid Revengeance, where they just have an idea, but they don't know how to develop it properly.
The thing is, if they don't know how, Zone of the Enders is probably something that Platinum Games could do as well.
So, yes. And I think that's it for... Oh, we also had announcement of a new Star Wars game from LucasArts, which is really all we know about the game at this point.
Yeah. It's been revealed at E3.
Is it revealed at E3 or? Because there's a lot of
E3. I think on GTTV during E3.
Okay, so let's just say E3 is like this huge. It's not no longer just confined to E3. It's like the 3-day event anymore. Like Spike has a special this Thursday at 1 a.m., which I think is like an hour long. Okay, sneak peek. Konami, like I said, has their pre E3 press conference this week as well.
Mm.
So it kind of starts this week and then it goes into, you know, Monday with the press conferences from Microsoft, Ubisoft, Sony, and EA. And of course, the final press conference is Nintendo's, who we will be discussing now.
Wait. First, I want to say about a Star Wars game. There apparently will be a trailer on the 31st, and then there will be gameplay on the 4th of June.
Okay, so...
Want to take quick bets on what it'll be?
My bet is Battlefront 3, because that game has been making its round from developer to developer, and apparently never was cancelled as far as I know. So I think
Neustadt doesn't want it to die.
It would be time for it.
It's actually going to be, what is the one that's out this generation? Which is, well, I can't even remember the name of it. Here we go, Force Unleashed 3.
I hope it's not that.
Let's hope not.
I hope it's, I mean, I've said this so many times, but Rogue Squadron or Pod Racer HD port, please, or new version, or Republic Commando, I'll take that too.
Oh yeah, Republic Commando 2, that would be awesome.
Isn't Factor 5 dead?
What?
Yeah, but they don't have to make it.
Who would you get to make a Rogue Squadron game?
I don't know, maybe, I don't know where all those guys are, so maybe they do what everyone else does and form a new studio. Everything I said is completely wishful thinking. Do I think that'll actually happen? No. The smart money is probably on, you know, Force Unleashed or Battlefront or something new. Something maybe to do with the Clone Wars TV show or something stupid like that. I don't know.
Or, as rumored, a possible LucasArts MMO for the Wii U, which would be most likely a port of the Old Republic.
Quite a snag for the Wii U, I'll say that.
I would say it would be pretty lame.
I kind of agree with Martin, but yeah, we can talk about Nintendo at E3 for the second year in a row. I guess third year now. They're coming in this E3 with the most to gain, the most to show. 2 years ago it was the 3DS, last year was the reveal of the Wii U, and this year is the re-reveal of the Wii U. We honestly have not seen much of that system since it was announced and shown at last year's E3. We've had little snippets of information here and there. Most recently, last week, we've seen the most updated version of the controller, which now sports dual analog instead of the circle pads like the 3DS. And
precision?
I don't mind circle pads.
They are just
if you have the option.
Great.
Yeah, for a console, I think that was.
I am curious to see how it works out. I always just assume they went with the circle pads because it'd be kind of because. We'll talk about that later on. It's been an interesting year for them as far as that goes. I mean, one, the fact that they've been able to keep most of this stuff under their hats for a year is impressive in this day and age. Like, sure, there has been stuff that leaked out, but honestly, I don't think a lot of it has leaked out of what Nintendo's doing.
I think Nintendo's, of the three hardware makers, has always been, even going back to, you know, multiple generations in the past, they've always been like lock and key before E3, and E3 was always the surprise show for them.
Yeah, and part of the reason they've always been able to do that, though, is part of the reason they also tend to suffer in this industry, is that they're not just quiet from the fans, they're quiet from the industry.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason we ended up having so much information about the Wii U last year was because they opened it up to people like Ubisoft and stuff like that, and they started talking, which is how details leaked. And I assume
that's how the screenshot leaked. It was from a Telltale QA tester, who you have to assume is no longer a Telltale QA tester.
not Telltale, Traveler's Tale.
Oh, Traveler's Tales, I'm sorry, my bad.
They're working on Ego City. They're working on Echo City Stories, which is one of the few exclusive titles that are announced for the system so far. I think with that said, a lot of it has been that a lot of almost every company, I guess, is under a strict NDA for this system and talking about it. Like, we've had interviews this week for Aliens, Colonial Marines, and for Darksiders, where we can't specifically reference the Wii U version.
To be honest, that probably helps those companies right now, because then if Nintendo can put together like a great presentation for Wii U E3 and like start drumming up some legit excitement, like that's only going to help the games that come out for it. Because, I mean, let's be honest, coming out of last E3 is kind of lukewarm, and it has been since then.
Because there hasn't been much. I think I am of two minds of this. I think from Nintendo's point of view, it makes perfect sense because, you know, they want to keep their cards close to their chest as long as they can because, you know, I don't want to say get copied because people always get offended when you say that, but their ideas are usually borrowed and in most cases improved upon because people have time to work on that. So the games are really what they have to sell this new device. But on the flip side is that I think I understand having a gag order on yourself and maybe on major exclusives, but I think the fact that a lot of people can't talk about like ports and stuff or, you know, like, you know, same day releases for Wii U has kind of created this negative stigma around the system. I mean, it came out, and I said, I think a month or two ago, that Activision wasn't actively supporting the system because they hadn't announced a Call of Duty for it yet. But
you know they're working on it.
Yeah, but the thing is, common sense would tell you, Activision is going to work on the Wii U. They did Call of Duty for the Wii, for heaven's sake. But there are people who are like, oh, maybe it's true. Maybe Nintendo's doing something that Activision doesn't like, and they're not actively supporting the Wii U. We haven't heard anything about any of the games. And I'm like, that seems...
it's not Activision. Never mind. I was going to say that Avengers game. Carry on.
Ubisoft, for some odd reason, has been able to say there's been a couple of, you know, like we had the Avengers game announced and several times reiterated because it wasn't just like a mistake. Because there have been times where games have been confirmed for Wii U and then people have to backpedal, or games that are on, like, our Project Cars, for example, is a game that they're currently working on for Wii U. And there's been a couple of eShop announcements for the Wii U, but again, it's kind of like minor games, but I think that if Nintendo had it out, like we've heard Resident Evil 6 isn't coming to the system. We've heard that, like, I think Devil May Cry is not coming. We've heard that, we just heard today that Metro 2033 won't be there. It won't.
Metro Last Light?
Yeah, Metro Last Light won't be there simultaneously for the Wii U.
Crisis 3 won't be there.
Crisis. So, you know, like, after a while, it's like, if you keep hearing that and that and that, it's like, this is going to be the same situation as the Wii U and the Wii and the GameCube, where there's no third-party support because everybody's announcing what they're not bringing to the system.
Right. I think there's a little grain of salt in that way of thinking, though, in that this is a hardware launch, and it's a lot harder to prep even a port for a hardware launch than it is, you know, let's say, next fall. And if we're seeing the same trend after the use been on the market for a year, then I think we can fairly say, like, okay, this is the same.
Yeah, I agree. Some of those developers probably did not get those development kits early enough to even start a port to make a working port for this holiday season.
And if you miss the holiday and you miss a simultaneous launch, like, it might not even be worth it to do a port at that
exactly.
point.
And I think, and those are all fair points. And I also think the fact that it's not just like, oh, you know, we'll just throw a Wii U code up there. And it's a new system, so you have to learn how to work with that. You need people dedicated to that. So it could just be a time issue as well. But you see, that's logical. That's reasonable. That's what most people should think. But a lot of people, that's like, oh.
But this is the gaming community.
Yeah, so it's like, oh, they're not getting this game, they're not getting that game. Why should I buy this system if nobody's going to support it? And it is a fair point in that. Thinking, if you just think inside that bubble, like, oh my gosh, so many of these games aren't coming to the system. But that doesn't necessarily mean, one, it doesn't necessarily mean these games won't come to the system. Like, they could be ported later on. Like, it won't be a big deal, but like, I can see Resident Evil 6 coming because Nintendo and Capcom's had a great relationship, even on the GameCube.
Especially with that series.
Yeah.
RE4 launched on GameCube exclusive first, and it was awesome.
So stuff like that. So, but I do think Nintendo should have been ahead of it and make, you know, okay, you know what? We'll just have you, like, look how much hype Rayman Legends got when it leaked, like, that, you know, like, it was the first gameplay people had seen from a Wii U game since E3. And it kind of gets that launch game bump now, where it's going to be like that game that's first associated with the system, because it's the first game we've seen in 10 months. It's the same reason that Red Steel sold a million units.
But exactly, though, like, these other ports, they're not going to be associated with the system.
Well, yeah, but if you had, you know, like, if you had kind of dealt, like, okay, you know, like, this month Activision gets announced a game, this month Capcom gets announced a game, this month Ubisoft gets announced a game. If you kind of did that, where you just kind of got continuous news throughout the year.
Well, we might still, though, like, but I think it'll start at E3. Like, E3 is going to be a blowout, and then it's going to be a ramp up to launch.
E3 is going to be a blowout, but here's what's going to happen at E3, and this is why I think it would have been in Nintendo's best interest, is that E3 is going to come around, and it's going to be like, oh, Assassin's Creed, that's a port of an Xbox game, Call of Duty, that's a port of an Xbox game.
But see, if they announce it now, it would still be all those things.
Yeah, it, like, would be all those things, but what I'm saying is that you get that, and then it's going to be like, oh, HD Mario, HD Metroid, or whatever, and then it's going to be like everything else is kind of on the back burner now, because everything's going to be focused on Nintendo's projects. Whereas before, you could have had that momentum where you're not necessary, because Nintendo has huge IPs. It's really hard to avoid their shadows.
I just don't know who these people are that would be excited about all those ports. I mean, what does it matter that
Assassin's
Creed is coming?
I
mean, I can play it on my PS3 or my 360. I don't need to buy a Wii U for that.
No, and this is what I've said this before. I don't know if I said this on the show. Is I don't necessarily see those ports as being anything important to the system. What I see them being are equalizers, because part of the reason you know people didn't buy the Wii is because, oh, it doesn't have this game, it doesn't have that game. Granted, you might not buy a Wii U for those games, but now you can't say, like, I'm not going to get a Wii U because it doesn't have Assassin's Creed, it doesn't have a version of Call of Duty I want to play or something like that.
But even, I don't think it's even, like, the fact that it's a launch makes those even less important. Like, I understand your point, and you do have a good point, but I just think that an equalizer makes more sense when, like, you have the system there already. But when you're trying to get people to buy the system, the equalizers, don't matter as much.
None of these games, I think, will matter for the system's launch, which is why, personally speaking, again, why I wanted them to be announced ahead of time. Because, really, like, Call of Duty's fine, Assassin's Creed's fine, but I would just throw all of those in a sizzle reel. Because they're not going to do anything for your system other than saying that we have this game as well. If that's what you come to the table with, like, you've already lost this race because you're not running it. You're just trying to hold on to the person being in front of you. That's an issue. But
I agree with the equalizer argument, but it will be really funny when the other new consoles come out and then that might no longer be possible.
It might not be possible, but there's several key differences here between the Wii and the Wii U, is that it's coming out before everybody else. So at least if they go forward, they would still have engines that are optimized to work on the Wii U. Whereas with the Wii, like, they had the PlayStation 2 and the GameCube, but almost everybody moved on to the HD systems at that point. So nobody was working with those tools anymore. This way, it's like, okay, you know what? We can't get all of these details in, but maybe we can just squeeze it into the Unreal Engine 3 and we'll remove some of the graphical details or something like that. But you can still get the fundamental game up and running.
You know what's funny is I think that the Wii U is going to drive more 360 and PS3 ports later on when the next gen comes, because obviously, those two systems already have huge install bases. There's already an incentive to develop for Wii U, and if you're already getting the Wii U version, why not cater to those larger install bases, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically going to be what we see at the start of any generation, is that, like, the Wii U has a year on the market where it's going to hopefully share most of the games with PS3 and Xbox 360. And if these games come out in 2013, most launch games tend to be current-gen games up-ported because you just don't have the time to start from scratch. So at worst, Nintendo, the Wii U, gets about 2 years of solid third-party support before it starts falling on the wayside. And at that point, it's either going to be a system that you know you can sell your games on, or it's going to be a system you can probably be going to drop anyhow. So it works in their advantage to have this out early. And you know, truth be told, and I guess we can move on to this, is that in this industry, Nintendo still has the biggest system sellers. So they have ways to drive up the install base quickly if they want to do that and then kind of like, get third parties on board to hopefully have their games sell well on the system.
Yeah, they do make enough games to support their system entirely by themselves, which is
that they've proven to three systems now. Yeah. And it's going to be one of those things. Again, launch is always an iffy thing because, as we saw at the you don't need 30 games at launch because then you're going to have 28 games that get ignored. But, you know,
you need one or two killer apps.
Yeah, you need one or two major
and a
games.
Stable of solid games.
Yeah, and what I would do, hopefully Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft earn is that instead of like dumping 20 games day one, dump 10 and then dole out two a week so that there's a steady stream of games, because what happens is you get this huge launch rush and then nothing comes out for 2 or 3 months and then everybody kind of gets bored. Then a new game comes out, you play it, you put it down. Granted, which is why, you know, people tend to pick up systems 2 or 3 years in when there's 2 or 3 years worth of games to play on it. And, you know, speaking of Nintendo, one of the crazier rumors to come out this week is that Retro is working on a Fox X Metroid crossover title. What is it, Fusion Gaiden or something like that?
Fusion Saga, I think.
Fusion Saga.
Which, by the way, there is a game called Metroid Fusion, so that makes this extra weird. I don't know how I feel about this, honestly, because I like both. They're both sci-fi, so you could kind of make it work. At the same time, did I ever think I'd want a game like this? No, but could it be good? Yeah, so I'm really mixed, personally. I don't know, what do you guys think?
I've never on a single mind with any of these topics, but on one hand, is that Star Fox and Metroid are beloved franchises, but they aren't really commercially successful franchises. It's really down there on Nintendo's list of franchises. I don't think other M crossed a million units, and I think Prime 3 just passed like 1.5 million or something like that. So they aren't great sellers. And Star Fox has pretty much been on the decline since Star Fox 64. So, in this way, it's kind of a way to kind of reignite interest in both franchises, because I think, if nothing else, people would kind of get this game for the WTF factor, because it does have that, like, how the hell is this going to work going for it? And I also think, at this point, Retro has that kind of shot in the community where people are, at least, know they're capable enough to pull this game off. It may not be a totally good game, but gameplay-wise, it would be decent.
Yeah, I was just going to say that the best thing this game has going for it is that Retro is working on it.
Which, personally speaking, I would be upset with, because Retro's working on it. I think Retro, of all Nintendo studios, should be working on a new IP.
Well, this would be, technically.
It would be, technically, but...
Like, it's a mix of... it's a mix of two IPs, but, like, as far as what kind of game it's going to be...
It would be new, but I think it's, and this happens with a lot of franchises, is you come with certain baggage anyhow. Like, you're going to have Metroid fans who aren't going to like this because it's not the Metroid game they want.
Right.
You're
going
to have Star Fox fans who don't want this because it's not the Star Fox game they want. And then, like, you know, like, if you have two of your audiences and hope to get those back with this crossover, it will be an interesting prospect. I mean, I do imagine that I want this to happen on a personal level, because we haven't had a great Nintendo fans freak out since Zelda was announced. The GameCube was a great era for that. I remember when Metroid Prime was announced to be a first-person shooter. The fan community was up in arms about that, and then when Zelda turned out to be cel-shaded. And the last major thing we had was the Wiimote reveal, because nobody thought that was going to work out.
I think this sounds like the worst idea ever, and I also think it's a dumb rumor and it's not going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen. I can see... Well, okay. What do you expect from Nintendo at E3?
What do I expect? Thinking about Wii U here?
Yeah.
Okay. What do I expect? Well, I guess we will definitely see the new Super Mario Bros. Thing.
Which I'm really...
Whatever it's called these days.
Yeah, because it's going to be really weird. Because if they have one that comes out on the DS, the 3DS and the Wii U at the same year, I feel like they're just going to cut off each other's legs. Unless there's some type of crossover.
Maybe.
Too.
So I assume we will see that. That's
hope we see 3D Mario.
I assume we are going to see a retro title, but I don't think the rumor is real. But I also don't have a real good idea what they could be working on.
Yeah, yeah, I hope it's a new IP, like Earl said. But
yeah, that would probably be the best case. But
yeah, I just want to see anything from them, though.
Yeah, I mean, I know everybody's in over Metro. Personally speaking, I'm curious to see what EAD Tokyo has in store. Granted, it's probably just Super Mario Guy. The next 3D Super Mario game.
Wait a minute.
I want to see that.
Pikmin
too,
3.
Pikmin 3. I don't think that's EAD Tokyo though.
We'll probably see that, though.
Yeah, I mean, they pretty much the 3 will be there. Which is so odd, because I always thought the Wiimote was the perfect controller for Pikmin, and they pretty much glossed over it, and, I mean, it's possible. It would make sense for an RTS to be on that controller if you have, you can have some of your Pikmin on the screen and some of them on the TV, so you can do two different tasks at once or something like that.
Yeah,
and
I
maybe
think the tablet's a better controller, but I agree. I was shocked that we never saw a real Pikmin for Wii.
The thing is, I don't think we will see a 3D Mario, because one Mario game is usually enough.
Oh yeah, we won't see a 3D Mario. I didn't mean a 3D Mario game this year. I just meant that I won't personally want to see what EAD Tokyo is working on.
I don't think it'll come out for launch, maybe, but I think we might see it.
I feel like if they have New Super Mario Bros. Mii, which is the working title from SE3, and then New Super Mario Bros. 2, I think that's more than enough Mario for one show. And then they can save it for next year, because, you know, traditionally speaking, recently they've done, we have this new game, it's out in 4 months, so that could be their big holiday title for next year. And if they want, you know, for a game to get people excited for, they could probably have a teaser for Smash Brothers. I don't think it's that far in development to have something like that.
Yeah, that's something I want to say as well. They've been just in the concept stage, as far as I know.
They've come out. Was it Sakurai straight up came out and said last year he wasn't even going to work on it until Kid Icarus was done. And then when Kid Icarus came out, he's like, "Yeah, I'm just getting started now." So I don't think we'll see anything on Smash.
Yeah. I want to see if they have Mario and Soft's new game there. Especially after Xenoblade. If it's by Enkaidos 3, which I doubt, because somebody played the first two.
I think we'll see F-Zero for 3DS.
We're talking Wii U. Also don't steal my predictions.
I didn't know they were your predictions, but
What I said is, if they really want to make people shit their pants, they would announce and show something of the new Zelda game. And they already have the tech demo, so...
Yeah, but maybe, as they've shown in the past, the tech demo does not really mean anything.
I don't think they're going to show anything of a Zelda if it's not that far in development. Granted, Zelda's one of the few franchises they kind of do that whole... Because, I mean, Twilight Princess was revealed in 2004, out in 2006. Skyward Sword was revealed in technically 2009, out in 2012, and stuff like that. So, if anything, I do expect we'll probably see a 3DS Zelda.
I bet we'll see Zelda at the post-conference roundtable. Where Miyamoto's we're working on that. Here's the concept art.
I'm trying to think because we have Mario. Zelda's too far away, I think, personally, and Metroid's a possibility, but, they need a...
Killer app?
I was going to say, they either need to revive an IP or something that gets people excited, because,
Ice Climbers Wii U.
Ice Climbers Wii U. I'm not even talking about launch, but I'm just talking about that time between E3 2012 and E3 2013, where,
But what if Pikmin is that other title?
Well, there was also the rumor that Luigi's Mansion 2 is now a 3DS and Wii U title.
Yeah, that's true.
Luigi's Mansion isn't a...
Luigi's Mansion did launch the GameCube, so...
It did, but the GameCube is the least successful platform of all time, so I don't know if you want to repeat that.
Well, you're forgetting the Virtual Boy.
Okay.
But Nintendo also wants you to forget about the Virtual Boy, so I don't blame you.
Actually, speaking of things that I'd rather forget, there was that rumor a couple of weeks ago that Nintendo was working with Headstrong Games on Acid Ghost.
What?
You didn't hear about Acid Ghost, the game that they're going to use Eminem to promote?
No.
It's you're a ghost on a cruise ship, and it's kind of like Geist Meets Eternal Darkness, where like you basically freak out passengers and stuff like that to progress throughout the game. Like, there's, I think, one example, and I don't think this game is real, but there's, like, one example where you can draw, like, bugs, like, you can draw, like, spiders on a kid's bed to freak him out and make him run out of his room or something like that. So, yeah, if that's a possibility. The other possibility is there's been a lot of strong words of Eternal Darkness 2.
Oh, that would be awesome.
I think Eternal Darkness kind of falls in that other camp, though, where it's a game that people will be excited for, but nobody actually played the original.
I did, I will raise my interest in Wii U.
I think it will raise a lot of people's interest in Wii U. But then there's the other problem with that, and that is, like, does anybody get interested in anything Sega Knights does nowadays, other than
Eternal Darkness 2? Yes. And also, I love Two Humans, so fuck off.
Did you like X-Men Destiny?
No. Well, I didn't. Okay. I didn't play it. The concept's done.
Nintendo. That's why people don't get excited about Sega Knights titles anymore. But yes, I would trust them a bit more if Nintendo's working hand in hand with them. But yeah, that's another possibility.
They had their best days when they were Nintendo exclusive. So.
Yeah, and I think the other game, well, not Nintendo exclusive, but I think it has a possibility of being a huge title, is Ego City Stories. The Ego City games on their own have done remarkably well. But that's also been because they've been licensed properties. I think this is the first Lego game.
What about the Tekken title for the Wii U? I guess you would see that again.
See what?
The Tekken title.
Oh, yeah, the new Tekken.
Yeah, I guess you would see that.
Would it be Tekken Tag Tournament 2?
No, they have a Tekken title specifically for the Wii U in development.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was going to be Tekken Tag Tournament 2, but they actually came out this week, and it's like Tekken Tag Tournament, and then it's like the Wii U Tekken and something like that.
Yeah.
And I think there's a new 3DS Tekken in the works as well, so I assume that we might have some type of crossover.
That would be pretty clever of them.
What other games are there? And I guess going to that is, like, you know, we've mentioned in the prior weeks that, like, you know, Nintendo showing up with, like, Call of Duty or Grand Theft Auto on the stage or something would be. But I don't think, again, it's going back to, like, you know, it's nice that they get a Call of Duty game finally, but are you really going to buy Call of Duty 5 on the Wii U if you have a 360 or a PS3?
No,
if you get the
NetPacks
there first.
Something to have, something that'll sell.
Yeah, I think if they have it, they'll flaunt it. But I was saying before, if anything, I think the game that makes the most sense, even though I don't think it's going to be, would be something like Overstrike, because it has that aesthetic. It's a new IP, so Nintendo can help build the audience on their system. And it seems like it's not going to be a blood and guts shooter, so it does fit their image.
I do.
And, you know, they've had a decent relationship with EA.
Yeah.
So, you know, I see something like that. I expect Killer Freaks from Outer Space to get a showcase on the show, because Nintendo and Ubisoft are odd bed buddies.
Yeah.
Like I said, going into this show, Nintendo is the most interesting, just because we know nothing about their show. I mean, this happens every year. Like, there's 50 rumors flying around about Nintendo, so you can't believe anything. So we can know that we probably know their entire E3 lineup, but we don't know because there's 60 other rumors leading us in other directions.
Yeah. So 3DS.
Wait, I want to talk about the hardware, the Wii U hardware. I think we'll see a redesign of the console or like tweak, because it got a lot of flack for looking like a Wii. And not just and it's not just the flack, the fact that it looks like a Wii is really confusing in the average consumer marketplace. Like, how many people last year thought the Wii U tablet was another peripheral for the Wii? And part of that was
I was confused half of the time.
I think they need a console redesign. Like, it can't look like that, or it's going to be really confusing.
I think it will still look like the Wii, but I think they will make some modifications where it's like obvious. You know, like how the 3DS kind of looks like the DS, but there are some clear differences, especially the two-tone color.
Right.
So I expect something like that, because like, it's the same thing. Like, we've pretty much got confirmation that the system's going to remain the Wii U, as many people
know. That was one of my other notes, but I mean, that looks like it's going to stay, unfortunately.
Yeah, they opened up the Facebook group and a new logo on the press site. So I guess they really just want to mislead people for the next week and a half. It seems that it's going to be the Wii U.
Go ahead.
I was going to say it makes sense, because I never really got why people wanted them to move away from the Wii name.
Well, I understand the Wii name. Wii U.
Oh, I know, and not you in particular, but I know there were people like Nintendo need to stay away from the Wii name. Some people are just like, oh, it's because hardcore gamers have a bad...
Should Sony get away from PlayStation? No, that's not...
Well, at this point, I think they should, but that's a whole different debate.
The other thing about the hardware is... on the controller, we've already seen the sticks. I think we're also going to see an upgraded touchscreen.
I don't think so.
I still don't think it's going to be multi-touch.
It's still going to be the shitty resistive touchscreen.
That's going to be such a huge mistake for them.
I honestly think...
But it's totally a Nintendo thing to do.
Yes, it's cheaper.
Yeah.
Which is always their key point. But I think the other thing is, like, they don't really see many uses for multi-touch. I'm sure people will bring up, like, I think if anything, it would be more novel for, like, eShop titles so you can easily port, like, your mobile games to it. Because, like, if you're using the controller, you can't use both hands. And I guess you can kind of, you know, like, if you use one hand, you can use multi-touch with the other hand. But to them, I just assume it's like you have one hand on the controller, one hand on the screen.
It's not even multi-touch so much as just the quality. The responsiveness, you know? Like, it's... Because resistive touch is just not as accurate.
No, I think resistive is more accurate. I think...
But you need to use the stylus for it to be accurate. That's the problem. If you just want to use your fingers, a capacitive touch screen is much better.
It's better, but it's not as accurate. And I think for them, accuracy beats out being able to use your finger, which I think is really odd, being, like I mentioned before, because if you have one hand on the controller, most likely you prefer to use your finger instead of taking out a stylus all the time. Kind of what I do with my 3DS, because the stylus, for whatever reason, is on the wrong side of the system.
Do you guys think we'll see official launch date or price?
No, they said that already.
Oh, they did?
They said, I think, at the last Investors Roundtable, that they won't be announcing the price or release date at E3.
We'll probably just get another coming this fall.
Yeah, if anything, I would imagine, because it's the same thing they did with the Wii. They announced the price and release date in September, so 2 months before the system came out. I assume they want to get a read on what people are willing to pay for it.
Yeah. What do you guys think it'll be?
I am going to shit on the system so much. Just so Nintendo drives the price down.
I
think about the system.
What do you guys think it will be, though?
I think 300 has to be the sweet spot.
I agree. Yeah, $299.
Yeah, you see, the problem is that they're coming in, because they're coming in first in this generation, they have to compete with the current system. I do expect that Microsoft and Sony will do more than 300 for their next system, but Nintendo doesn't have the luxury of knowing that now. So right now they have to compete with what's on the market. And then when a time comes, there'll be the cheapest system on the market again.
Right.
And that,
but the Wii did launch at $250, so $300 is already a jump. And I think, I don't know. I mean, it would just be hard to go above that. Plus, the only thing I want to say is that the yen is still really strong, which hurts their profits. That might force them to go up another $50.
Yeah, but the problem is, and I think they've learned this with the 3DS, I hope, is that just because you can price something high doesn't necessarily mean that people are going to buy it.
The same time, the people who are going to buy it are probably going to, not everyone, but like early adopters are early adopters. You know, Nintendo fans are Nintendo fans. They can charge as much as they want.
And I also think that it might have a long-term negative impact on the industry if they launch it at $350, $400, it doesn't sell. So they drop the price before the PS4 and the Xbox comes out. Then it's like, you know, nobody's going to buy a system day one because you can just not buy it and then wait 6 months for the price to drop. And that's kind of what you get with games now. It's like, what's the sense of buying a game day one when I can get it half off in 2 weeks?
Yeah. No, I think if they can produce it for a profit at $300/euros, I think that will be the price. But that's a question. I mean, they don't like to sell hardware for a loss.
And I don't think they will sell this at a loss either. Because
I don't think so either. Unless
since they sell the 3DS
situation happens.
Yeah, they sell the 3DS at a loss, so I don't think that would help them. I would also wager that we won't have a Wii Sports game pack in, but we will have something for 3DS where they have proof of concept games
built
in the system.
Expect some kind of drawing game or like something with like heavy customization or something like that. Like
Kaiju.
Mario Paint 2.
Mario Paint 2. They would sell that. Not they would
not. Title.
They would sell that retail. Mario Paint 2 with Wii Music 2. just we'll quickly go to the 3DS, but just to make my really wild, not going to happen in Modern Life Times predictions, I want to see Mighty New Soft work on Skies of Arcadia 2. I mean, a game of the scope of Xenoblade with the Skies of Arcadia aesthetic and characters would be heavenly, but there's like so much wrong with that, so...
3DS.
The 3DS is the opposite of the Wii U right now in that we know so much of its lineup that they really don't have to focus on it much, and I think that's probably by design.
Yeah, I was going to say that's probably the idea since the conference is going to obviously focus on the Wii U.
Because I mean, the rest
what
of the
you should get is a bunch of release dates, I assume.
Yeah, I assume if anything they'll have a sizzle reel, and then on their press site we'll get a bunch of release dates, intros, and screenshots. Because, I mean, they'll probably have a trailer of Mario, and they'll probably have a trailer of Luigi's Mansion. I assume if they're going to announce Monster Hunter Tri-G, this will be the place.
That's the elephant in the room.
Monster
Hunter.
I assume if they have any other like third-party titles to release and stuff. But yeah, like I said, I mean, we have Kingdom Hearts, we have the Rhythm Final Fantasy, we have Luigi's.
Yeah, Kingdom Hearts is out soonish.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like this, the rest of the year for the 3DS is fine from a game release standpoint. We have games almost...
I guess for you Americans, maybe they will finally confirm Fire Emblem.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we did have... tweet in from one of our listeners.
Yeah.
Electivirus. He's looking for a Fire Emblem Awakening localization announcement and a release date for Animal Crossing 3DS.
Animal Crossing's another. So yeah, the 3DS is smooth sailing for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And both
of those sound plausible, I think.
And I hope we see also Paper Mario, but I have a feeling that's going to be 2013.
It's Paper Mario. I pretty much assume Paper Mario is 2013. Especially once they announce New Super Mario Bros. 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think you do that, Luigi's Mansion and Paper Mario in the same year.
And New Super Mario Bros. Me.
Yeah, so that's just, you know, like you push that back. And the way they've been working with the 3DS recently is that they have those Nintendo Directs. So, you know, around September, October, they'll probably start detailing next year's lineup, and then they have TGS.
Yeah.
So the 3DS going in is probably the healthiest system as far as releases go.
Yeah. They don't really have to do much with it, to be honest. There are a bunch of games announced for it, a bunch of good games announced for it.
There's a couple of systems. It's at a reasonable price, so there's really no sense for a price drop.
Not at this point, right?
They feel pretty well in the eShop with releases.
I think we won't get this because the focus is going to be on the Wii U, and they don't want to steal any thunder from that. But I want to see the 3DS redesign.
They're focused on the Wii U.
I agree with you guys. That's what I'm saying. Like, they're not going to take away from the Wii U, but that's what I want to see.
I assume that's a next year thing.
Yeah, I assume the 3DS gets like a 10-minute chunk in the middle of the show, and that's pretty much it, talking about how it's doing sales-wise, momentum, growth, you know, all those buzzwords people like to use when they don't have anything to show for sales.
Except if, like I said, Earl, they have Zelda for 3DS, then they, of course, will trade off of that.
They can, okay, Zelda, you can have a trailer for that, too.
Oh, yeah, I was going to, if we didn't mention I think that we'll see it's all the 3DS.
Okay, and everybody who wants to make their own 3DS prediction now?
I wanted to make it, because that was my crazy thing.
It makes so much sense. Please,
of course it makes sense. It makes sense for us, but not for Nintendo. They want us to forget that F-Zero exists.
Oh, this is the console F-Zero was built for.
Either that or an HD F-Zero with 32 players online.
Yeah. I just think, you know, so the way the track design is and how fast it is, like the 3D is just going to be so awesome.
Who would you have do it?
I don't
Sega?
Care.
Sega?
I said GX?
Second. Yeah, they did.
Give it to them.
I thought that studio was disbanded. Amusement Visions.
Was it?
I mean, Sega has gone through so much reconstruction since.
Give it to Sega AM2.
Okay. So Sega.
Both Sega are great.
Sega and Nintendo have a great relationship, so it would make sense. Yeah. If not, I can honestly see them giving it to somebody like Monster Games.
They can give it to anyone, as far as I'm concerned. I just want the game.
Huh?
They can give it to anyone, as far as I'm concerned. I just want the game.
Monster Games seems to be Nintendo's go-to races now. They did.
Oh, yeah. But are they the ones rumored for Project Cars?
No. Project Cars is a third-party thing.
Who the hell is Monster Games?
They did Excitebots.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Oh, and that's probably a good bet then.
And they also did Pilot Wings, so I would imagine that they would be the people if Nintendo was going with F-Zero.
In-house.
Well, they're not an in-house studio, but...
Well, kind of in-house.
They're kind of like, who are the people doing Luigi's Mansion? Is it them doing Luigi's Mansion? No. Who's doing Luigi's Mansion 2? It's another company that they partner up with a lot. I think it's the people who did Strikers. Oh, Next Level Games. There we go.
Yeah, Strikers.
Yeah. So, there we go.
F-Zero for 3DS, seriously, would be so cool.
Nintendo, listen.
F-Zero for 3DS.
I'll buy your system.
Wii U.
I already have your system. I wouldn't buy it again, but I would buy your game.
Actually, that's a lie. I'm still gonna wait for the redesign. But
I think we see a Wave Race game for Wii U because Nintendo likes to show off their water physics, and that's every time they bring out Wave Race.
I think we'll see a Metroid game of some sort. Whether that's the weird fusion thing, whether that's a Wii U game, whether that's a 3DS game, 3D or 2D, I think we'll see a Metroid game or something to do with Metroid.
That sounds like a good bet as well.
Metroid Other M2, 3DS.
No!
Metroid Dread in development for 10 years.
Oh, the other shooter I can imagine Nintendo having at that conference and gone. The 007 Agent, good. James Bond and Nintendo franchises, Nintendo systems go hand in hand for some odd reason. I don't know what it is.
Because of GoldenEye. Because of Rare, who's also no longer Nintendo.
But yeah, I think, you know, again, it's another shooter that fits their mold. James Bond isn't a gory franchise. It's actually a teen-rated shooter. It's synonymous with the brand. I think Everything or Nothing sold better on the GameCube than the other two systems, which is odd. And it's a game that, you know, again, they had GoldenEye Wii, so they kind of had that audience who like James Bond shooters. So that's another shooter I can see them kind of. Though I would expect it's kind of weird because James Bond, of all the companies, is most associated with Nintendo and gaming. But it's actually a Sony property. So there's that.
Well, yeah. Columbia. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But, I think that's it for our Nintendo E3 special. We'll be back next week with our general pre-E3 show, which would actually go up earlier because E3 is actually Monday, so it would defeat the purpose to put it up that Monday. For this show, we're once again opening up the phone lines, which is always interesting for you to share your opinions, your predictions, your thoughts, your hopes, your wishes, your Star Fox X Metroid fanfic.
The Lost Life questions.
So, yeah, you know, drop us a line at 347-407-6373. You can leave us your thoughts and comments on Twitter at @Duel_Wilden. You can drop us an email at dw@nerdsontherocks.com. You can always contact me because we have a Facebook group up now, Duel Wilden. So, yeah, check us out. Leave us your predictions, your picks. And we'll have this up hopefully Sunday afternoon so you can all listen. Because I know that final 24 hours is dead, G, for everybody. The hype gets overwhelming. Microsoft seeks their lineup. So it's being digested already. So, and Nintendo fans are freaking out because they're going through pictures of crates to see what could possibly be hidden in it. They're going to be behind curtains. E3 time. It only happens once a year, folks. So for Martin, Jason, and myself, this has been Duel Wilden Episode 71.
It's so easy to be Wii U crazy, Princess Peach and Daisy, Darksiders too amazing. Oh no no, I'm not sure you understand, take the Wii U in your hand, and now you understand. To be Wii U crazy, if you're high strung or you're lazy, better than Spielberg or Scorsese. Oh no no, I'm not sure you understand, but take the Wii U in your hand, and now you understand. Take the Wii U in your hand, and now you understand. Take the Wii U in your hand, and now you understand. Take the Wii U in your hand. Now you understand, take the Wii U in your hand. Yeah, yeah.